The third and final book in the premier novel series for Christian women is out. The latest in the Anthems of Zion series is titled The Harvest Rays. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Katie Schuerman. Learn more about The Harvest Rays at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Harvest Rays, the Issues Etc. book of the month for August, 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Headline from the Kansas City Star, was Jesus crucified during a solar eclipse? NASA shows one occurred in 33 AD. Of course, a solar eclipse is on many people's minds, especially that swath that runs from, well, one corner of our country to the next corner of our country. Solar eclipse in its totality will pass over a little later in August, and many will be watching it. Were those who were witnesses of the crucifixion also witnesses of a solar eclipse? Some of the gospel reading says it got dark around noonday. Does it fit? We're going to answer that question. Dr. Paul Meyer is our guest, professor emeritus of ancient history at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo, author of several books, including In the Fullness of Time, A Historian Looks at Christmas, Easter, and the Early Church, Josephus, The Essential Works, Eusebius, The Church History, and his latest publication, The Constantine Codex. Dr. Meyer, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Todd.
First of all, do the dates line up? If NASA says there was a solar eclipse in 33 AD, is that a reliable date for the crucifixion of Jesus?
It really is. I've done a lot of research on the year that Jesus was crucified. Most scholars assume it's 30 AD, but that's too early on the basis of the fact that Jesus has a 3.5-year ministry after the 15th year of the Emperor Tiberius, who died in 14 AD, and the 15th year there will be 29 AD, and therefore that would be too brief for Jesus' ministry. And so the year is fine, 33 AD. That part is not the problem. The problem is in the fact that a solar eclipse is when the moon intervenes between the path of the sun and its rays and the earth, and the moon would be diametrically at the wrong point for a solar eclipse. Easter always takes place in connection with the Jewish Passover, and the Passover always takes place on the first full moon after the vernal equinox in spring. And therefore, we have a full moon out the night that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, for example, and therefore a solar eclipse was impossible because it's the moon that causes the light to be interrupted. However, I will say the description in the Gospels works very well in terms of what a solar eclipse would be like. The twilight showing up all over, and then the darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour that works out perfectly that way.
So, it sounds like what you're saying is the year is plausible, but the time of the year is impossible.
Well, I'm not sure of the time, and the whole point is this, that it could not be a solar eclipse, because the sun would have been out in all its glory most of the time. However, I will say this, backing up NASA's idea, is the testimony of a Greek author of Natural Wonders, called Phlegon, his name was, came from Caria, southwestern Asia Minor, and he was kind of a Ripley person, you know, believe it or not, by Ripley. Most of what Ripley reported was true material, even though it sounded as though it could not have been. And Phlegon reports in a book called Natural Questions in Greek that on the fourth month of the fourth year of the 202nd Olympiad, it became so dark that you could see stars in the daytime in the city of Nicaea. And there was an earthquake that demolished some of the buildings in Nicaea. This is the same Nicaea where later on we would have the council taking place that determined indeed the Christology that we share as Christians. So that's very interesting. I did a research on what the fourth month of the fourth year of the 202nd Olympiad, and it comes out to, incredibly, April of 33 A.D., which is my favorite date for the crucifixion on the basis of a lot of work I've been doing on this. Now, that's not the reason why I chose April 3rd, 33 A.D. for the crucifixion day of Friday. There were many other reasons, but interestingly enough, this coincided with that. And then to have NASA come along and say there was an eclipse of the sun at that point is very interesting. The only trouble is, on a natural basis, it couldn't happen.
So the what is recorded here, what exactly do the several of the gospel writers record about the noontime darkness?
That was dark from our 12 o'clock to 3 p.m., 6 hours to the ninth. You begin at dawn at 6, and you count the hours. From the 6 hours to the ninth, so that would be 12 to 3 o'clock. And indeed, NASA claims it was something like that, too, which is amazing. It really is. So, I mean, it's just don't call it a solar eclipse. Call the sun being darkened for some reason. That's fine. If it were not a case of the rabbis perhaps getting the date wrong in their calculations and maybe not having a full moon there at all, one wonders, although they would be very careful to see a full moon if that's what happened in connection with the Passover of Easter. There's only, I mean, it's, while you have some parallels working beautifully in a scheme, others do not. They're diametrically impossible in basis of the natural evidence we have.
There are other kind of signs, astronomic signs, attending Jesus' life that are also difficult to line up, like the star that is witnessed by the Magi.
Well, that's about 40 different explanations, and obviously only one is right. And it could be, in fact, one of the most interesting books recently is The Christ Comet, which, and the reason why the cometary hypothesis is so interesting is because that's something we have all witnessed in our lifetime. Not Halley's Comet, which was a bust, as you recall, but Hale-Bopp, which was very interesting when it showed up. You could see it for at least 2 weeks later. You could see the stream of the comet in the sky with a naked eye. And this, again, would be very interesting in terms of an explanation for the star. However, usually in the ancient world, a star would hail the death of a king and be kind of a negative symbol, not the birth of a king of creation. But there are many other explanations also for the Christmas star, and not one of them has ever been proven. But the neat thing about astronomy is that you can get an exact date through astronomical backward calculation.
Dr. Paul Meyer is our guest. We're talking about a story that appeared in the Kansas City Star. Was Jesus crucified during a solar eclipse? NASA shows one occurred in 33 A.D. On this Monday, August the 14th, when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with him. He's Professor Emeritus of Ancient History at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. Stay tuned. The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Religious liberty, Christians engaging the media, the for you of Christianity, Christian marriage, the sexual revolution, the Benedict option. These are some of the topics for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
We're talking about a Kansas City Star story about a solar eclipse in 33 AD. Some speculate it was to account for the darkness at noonday during Jesus' crucifixion. Dr. Paul Meyer is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We have posted four hotel options for attendees of the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Speakers include Molly and Mark Hemingway, Dr. Scott Murray, Rod Dreher, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, and Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. Registration is $120 and includes three meals. Child care is free, thanks to the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. Learn more and register. Find that hotel information at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston. Dr. Meyer, before the break, you had mentioned that we can kind of count back and get accurate dates using the astronomical data that we have today. What were you talking about?
Well, what I mean is scientists are able to kind of roll the clock back by knowing the position of the planets and the and anything else that may have happened very easily. In fact, one of the first accurate dates in history was when Cyrus the Great invaded Asia Minor, and they were able to get the exact date simply because there was an eclipse of the sun that scared both sides, and they decided to stop fighting because of that. Now, please, I want to emphasize, this is very important, the Bible does not say that there was an eclipse of the sun when Jesus was crucified. All the Bible says is that there was a darkening of the sun for 3 hours. Now, again, so don't ever have some skeptic trying to say this disproves now that there was a darkness. That's not the case at all. It's simply a case of, was this the explanation? Interestingly enough, Todd, yeah, there may have been a slight lunar eclipse that night. So astronomers have calculated that there was a partial eclipse over Jerusalem on the 3rd of April, 33 AD, in which the moon in a partial eclipse would never become opaque totally. It would be kind of a blood-red color. And this is exactly kind of a fulfillment of the Amos prophecy that was used by Peter in Pentecost, that the moon shall be turned to blood, and so on. And that's been very interestingly pioneered as another case in behalf of the 3rd of April, 33, being the date for the crucifixion.
Why were the ancient peoples, and you mentioned their Old Testament events as well, why were ancient peoples so concerned and paying so much attention to events in the sky at night and the day as well?
Well, put the case that today we had no electric light, no color illumination at night, and no smoke to get the atmosphere polluted. Imagine how clear the nights were and how impressive the canopy of stars and planets overhead would be to the ancients. And so very early on, they didn't worship the sky, but the Babylonians, for example, set up the signs of the zodiac for Babylonian astrology, I should say. And therefore, the ancients have always been very fascinated by what's taking place overhead, because, frankly, the stars and the planets were far more spectacular in yesteryear than they are today, with our counteracting city lights and our atmospheric pollutions. More difficult to see these things.
Were the Romans any exception to that kind of fascination?
No, the Romans were terribly superstitious, and they were probably very interested in attaching all kinds of religious significance or prophetic significance to what happens in the sky overhead. For example, shortly before Caesar was assassinated, there was a blood-red comet in the sky, and this was foretelling his doom, and so on. And the Herodotus, for example, the father of history, says that he doesn't know whether this is factual or not, but he does point out, like Tacitus, the Roman historian, does, that these things may be important omens for the future, or they may not. They leave that question open. But stars were very predictive, as were dreams and portents of all kinds. When Caesar's wife reported her dream the night before Caesar was assassinated, this caused a big furor in Rome. And therefore, on Good Friday, when Pilate's wife said, "I've suffered many things because of this man in a dream that I had today," this really spooked Pilate out as well. And this is where the trial changes. And Pilate invites Jesus inside the praetorium and asks him, "Where have you really come from?" is in a sense what he said. He knew he came from Galilee, but his question there meant, is there more here than meets the eye? And as a superstitious Roman, this was a very interesting portent for him. So yes, they were very much attuned to look upward.
So from a Roman perspective, because this does happen under the auspices of a Roman government, it happens with the Roman occupation of Jerusalem, there's political concerns as well. From a Roman perspective, a crucifixion that was attended by 3 hours of the darkening of the sun, a death that was attended by an earthquake and things like that, how would a Roman, say a centurion standing there at the cross, have interpreted those signs?
Well, that's another indication of the somewhat superstitious atmosphere. This is when the centurion said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." In other words, the universe is being shaken. And this would be a common Roman reaction. Something happening overhead that's going to influence the course of history. He didn't know how much it would. But nevertheless, his statement is very, very likely, and exactly what you would expect a common Roman soldier to think at that point, or an officer, I should say.
Dr. Paul Meyer is Professor Emeritus of Ancient History at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. He's author of several books, including In the Fullness of Time, A Historian Looks at Christmas, Easter, and the Early Church, Josephus, The Essential Works, Eusebius, The Church History, and his latest publication, The Constantine Codex. You'll find links to all these books at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Meyer, thank you very much.
Delighted to be with you, Todd.
In hour two of Issues, Etc., Gracie Olmsted joins us. We're going to talk about motherhood. She's recently written for The Federalist, saying, "We're talking about motherhood wrong. It's a vocation, not a job. Many people view it as that thankless job that goes without pay. Maybe we're better off not thinking about motherhood in terms of career, but in terms of calling." Then it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today we're going to talk with Pastor Chris Roseborough about how megachurches recruit their volunteers and listen to a few examples of such recruitment. Stay tuned for Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armed forces.